There you go. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. I have had, it's just awesome to have my wife and my son back with us. There you go. And it was just nice to be able to delete off my iPad. Reading. Gone. I used to keep it on the weather thing. I used to check what the weather was like over there for, you know, see what Corey was having to put up with, you know, 30 degrees, 36 degree, fine day, fine day, fine day. My gosh, why am I doing this? But, you know, it was just nice with all our stuff that we had to. And to be honest, I'm disappointed that we didn't get as much for our stuff. Things just didn't. But in the end, everything still got sorted, I think. We managed to find a place for it. We got rid of the van. They did. Well, when I say we, they did. I prayed. And that stage, for the moment, as Sabina said, is kind of in the past now. I've taken Reading off my weather forecast. I don't care what sort of weather they have there now anymore. I've got, you know, who knows, one day we'll be back. Corey may go back, may not. Who knows? The future is in the Lord's hands. But I'm really blessed with that. From then on, there were lots of lovely blessings for my family. I think I shared with some of you. They got an upgrade on their car. It was a frustration at the time, but they got this lovely bigger car. They're supposed to get a tiny thing. They got a bigger one, which was apparently really lovely to drive. Down the coast, we showed photos of this, the coastline, you know, from Monterey down to Santa Barbara on the west coast of California. It was disgustingly beautiful. They saw otters and seals. And the last, before they got to turn off and head up, I don't know if I shared this, and head up inland. I'm not happy with this. They saw this huge colony of elephant seals. Now, how bad is that? That's just, and I was not there. No. It was just amazing, just amazing. So for me, that was just such a lovely blessing from the Lord. After the difficulties and the struggles of getting there, getting all sorted, they got to enjoy beautiful countryside, beautiful trip down, had a great time with our friends in Santa Barbara, and then it just had a great time in where'd you go? Dublin, on the way through. So, you know, thank the Lord for that, just really praising the Lord for, you know, blessing at the end and a good time. This, you know, in some ways I wish they were still there enjoying more of it, but anyway, they've come home. In some ways, I'm really struggling what to do this morning. Just if you'd been in the prayer meeting this morning with us, when Shay and Florence and Di were there, we were praying for the service. These three all of a sudden bursting forth in prayer, and I'm thinking that is absolutely staggering, because everything that they prayed and said were things that was on my heart and been milling around in there, and I said to them, I said, I wanted to catch it all on tape, and, you know, and then I'd just sit here and play. Just to quickly stand up and pray for each other and pray grace, abundance of grace upon each other. As much as you want for yourself of the grace of God over your life, and this might be tough for some of us in our situations, as much as you want for yourself, pray that much for your neighbor. Is that good? Just a minute. Just lay hands on someone, touch people, and just say grace. And just pray grace. Lord, give them grace. Give them more grace than they know how to. Go for the person. Hold hands. Whatever you want to do, just pray. Abundance of grace. The grace of God in every form and shape. Lord, abundance. Abundance of grace, grace, grace. Beyond measure. Beyond anything that we've known. Grace to strengthen us. Grace to empower us. Grace to do miracles beyond anything we've ever seen before. Grace to behold the wonder and goodness of your great love. Grace to behold who you are in all your majesty, in all your glory, in all your power, all your miracle-working powers. Grace to be captured by your love all over again. Grace, 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 Lord. Shabbat. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. If you prayed for one person, just now quickly pray for the next person. Or have you done it all? Who's all been prayed for?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What great prayers will be here all morning. That's great. I have a couple of scriptures that I want to be able to share this morning. I don't know how well I'm going to get on. There's just so much happening. I looked at all my notes and I thought, they're just a waste of time because they're all over the place, and I just trust the Lord to pull it all together for me here this morning. One of the things we used to, in our previous English life, we used to travel up into the Pacific Islands, into a group of islands called Vanuatu, and while I was there, there's this passage of Ephesians sort of landed in my lap, and I was trying to process what would that look like, and I thought of the islands that we were on, and I imagined in my heart that because we had been in this island, you know, we'd come there, and the people of Vanuatu said to us, "Ian, we love you so much. You're such a blessing to us," or whatever. "We actually want to give you one of these islands. Which island do you want?" And I said, "I'll take Tanner Island. That's great. It's got a volcano that's blowing all the time. You know, it's interesting going up and look at it too." They took us up there one time and stood on the edge of the crater, and we're standing there and this thing's, and you walk up and there's these thumping great boulders as you're walking past, and you're thinking, okay, they've been thrown out of the volcano at some stage, and you're walking past them, you think. They said, "Is this?" You say, "Is this?" "Oh, no, it's been quite quiet for the last few months." "Well, I hope it doesn't change its mind now and decide not to be quiet." But anyway, just impressive. But it's very hilly. And I imagined what would it be like if that was given to me, if that was my island. And I said, "We want to give you this island. It is now yours. It's totally yours to possess. Fully yours." And I think, well, you know, I could say, "Well, that's really great. I think I'll make my house. I'll get my house down by one of the nice beaches there. There are some nice little patches there, and I'll just settle there." And people say to me, no, "You've got to come up the top of these hills. You can see, you can look down on the volcano. Plus, there's this beautiful view all around, and there's this lovely lake, and this magnificent view. It's great. You must come up there." "Oh, okay. Well, how far?" "Well, it's about a 2-hour trek through steep hills." And they are steep, you know, going up these hills in Vanuatu. On another island, the guy said, "We'll take you up the top of the mountain and you can look at the lake up on this other one." This is on a different island. So we try, and the, you know, it's kind of like this. It feels like that. We sort of got up and we said, "Can we do this another time? We'll go home, we'll get fit, and we'll do this another time." But anyway, you know, it's up there. And I thought I'd go to do that. And I think, nah. This is too hard. I'll just settle for back here. You know, it's a nice here. I'll settle for this here. And what happens is, while that is my island, I don't get to enjoy it all. You know, they assure me, "This is a great, you'll love it once you're there. It's the best place in the world to be, you know, on top of this." I think, no, I like my view down here. I'll stay down here. Satisfied that that's my island, but it's not really my experience. I haven't seen it, haven't been there. I thought, this is very interesting. And I want to just keep that in mind as I share the scripture, as I try and find it. Ephesians, if you've got your Bibles here, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. If you have your Bibles or iPods or iPads or electronic things. Oh, boy, there you go. Well, could you read out for us Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 then, Barbara? You probably could too, actually. It's well known. It's well known. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has blessed us. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace." Verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. According to the purpose, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, he has lavished upon us in all which he has lavished upon us, making known the mystery of his will. Let's go on. Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance. We have been given an inheritance. We have obtained, past tense. Not something we look forward to in the sense of ownership. It is past tense. We have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, gospel of your salvation, and believed him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. The down payment. You know, when you go and buy something, you haven't quite, you know, you've got the money, hasn't quite all there. You put a down payment, it becomes yours. And you've got to worry about getting the rest of the money, of course. But with God, it doesn't have to worry about getting the rest of it. This is our down payment. The promised Holy Spirit, who's the first fruits of this, of the first fruits of that inheritance. Verse 17. Pray that God may give our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saint, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet. All things. Not some things. All things. He put, past tense, all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Just quickly, chapter 2, verse 6. By grace, verse 5 says, we'll go verse 5. When we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Past tense. We have been raised to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. With him in Christ Jesus. Now, just what does that look like? We have to think, because we think heavenly, we kind of think it's out there somewhere. The heavenly realm is around us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in your midst. Wherever the Spirit of God rules and reigns, there is the kingdom. So the heavenly places are around us. They're not somewhere out there. It is here now, beginning in the spiritual realm. But God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in that heavenly realm. Whatever comes from the Spirit of God, whatever God makes, whatever he sets forth, whatever he declares, is the spiritual realm. The physical realm that we touch and feel and see and taste is subject to the spiritual realm. The world does not think that way. The world sees, and this is the contrast. When I was at high school, I remember being taught that all science starts on this presupposition, that the universe is a closed system and we can understand everything from within that system. Its meaning, its purpose, its whatever you want to decide can be found within the system. That is, a closed system being, it's closed. Nothing outside that system has any influence on it. There is nothing outside that system. That is the presupposition of modern-day science. Are you with me? Who's confused by what I'm saying? That's what I was taught at high school. It is still the same today. They haven't changed it. So there is a major basic fault in the foundation of all science, because the world is not a closed system. We know, because God lives outside that system. And God made it. And God influences that system. He is outside it and he is in it in every part. The scripture tells us that in Christ, through him, by him, all things have their being. He was made; all things were made for him, and through him all things have their being, and we're held together by him. His power is in us, holding us together. I discovered this at, I came to this conclusion, was at pharmacy school. And we were, I don't know if I've shared this with you, at pharmacy, I think I have, what, at Easter. But at pharmacy school, when we were, you know, as a pharmacist, you have to learn about how the body, a cell in the body, because most of the drugs work at a cellular level, of the, you know, the little cells in our body. So you have to study how a cell works, so you know how the drugs then can work on the... And we were studying it, and I'm scratching my head, and I'm thinking, this is the looniest thing I've ever seen. This just one cell in our body is so close to turning into total chaos. So it is unbelievably intricate, incredibly sophisticated thing. Incredibly sophisticated. There's all these chemical sort of pathways going, working through the cell the whole time. It's amazing we just don't get tired thinking about how busy our bodies are working all the time. That's probably why we do get tired. Yes. You know, one cell is an amazing, it's like this massive great city factory that's at work all the time. And I look at that and I think, how can anyone in their right mind think that that exists by pure random action? It is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard of that people speak, and yet millions believe it. I cannot... It blows me away. I mean, that takes bigger faith than I've got. It just seems obvious as I look at this thing and think, how can people think this is an accident? It's so close to falling apart. Something must hold it together. Oh, Helen, my Bible says. It is by, in him, and through him, and effect. I did know where that scripture, I memorized it once. You know, it's in the Bible, trust me, it's in, I think it's Hebrews. Is it Hebrews? Doesn't matter. No, it's Colossians. It's in Colossians. It's in Colossians. I've got it. Colossians chapter 1. Anyway, in him and by him through all things were made. And without him nothing was made. For in him all things hold together. So having said, where was I going with all that? So the spiritual realm is bigger than our closed system. The spiritual realm ultimately affects what happens here. We don't think so. That's why I was getting on getting back to that. That in the world today, everything has a material answer. And we in the West are especially susceptible to that. We live in that environment. Thank God for cultures that are not affected by that. And I think that's often why when you go to places like Africa, you go to places like the Pacific Islands, you go to other areas that aren't infected as much by our Western intellectual mindset, that it's much easier to pray for people because they expect that there's a spiritual realm. They're open to this sort of stuff. You know, there's no unbelief. There may not be faith in Jesus Christ, but there's no unbelief. Am I making sense? Whereas in the Western world, we have this unbelief that there's a God. Anyway, I won't dwell on. It's simply to say, around us, in us, and through us, the spiritual realm exists. So we are seated in the dominion, in the place of rule where God manifests his authority or works his authority out. He has given to us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We are seated in Christ. He has raised us up to sit with him in the heavenly places. Where does Jesus sit? He sits at the right hand of all authority, all power, all dominion in this age and the age to come. That's where Jesus sits. So where do we sit? We sit right with him. Right next to Daddy. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it just blows me away. Absolutely blows me away. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Everything proceeds from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. Now you could say, well, you know, if someone goes that has an accident, da da da. Yes, there's things happening here that seem to be, could be random and stuff. And God has given to human beings the material world to rule and reign. Remember Garden of Eden? I've given this to you. You know, have dominion over it. Turn into something. Make it produce. Bring life. Da 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 da. Do all this stuff. It's been given to us. Because, as you know, the gospel is that we threw that all away and decided the only condition was that God was the one who would decide what was right and wrong. We didn't want them. We said, no, we want to decide that. And we've thrown away intimacy with God. We've cut ourselves off from that place of spiritual authority that was given to us. But in the redemption, in our redemption through Christ, we are raised again back to that place that Adam and Eve had right at the very beginning. Except we're having to now exercise and work out that spiritual power, that spiritual authority that is ours, in a world that is falling or fallen apart. Are you with me so far? Hopefully this is not new stuff for most of us. That's the world that we're in. That's the world that we are called to. But we walk with this stuff. Blessed be the Father who has that in Christ has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. We are chosen. We are adopted as sons. We are born again by the Spirit of God through the blood of Jesus. We are His children. That's why we call Him Father. There's no other religion in the world where people come to God and say Father. There isn't one. There just isn't one because they don't have that relationship. Do not have that intimacy with God. And just remember that Father is, while it's generic Father, He is bigger than we think. We have redemption through His blood. He has lavished upon us His grace and His love. In Him we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. What is that inheritance? The inheritance that we have is everything, everything that Jesus has. In 1 Corinthians 3, I think at the end of the verse it says, why are you bickering? You know, some of you say, remember Paul's talking about that there's these factions happening in the church. And he says, I'm of Christ, I'm of this guy, I'm of that. And he says, why are you doing that? For all things are yours, because you are Christ. All things are ours. Everything is ours, because you are Christ and Christ is God. In other words, everything that Jesus has is our inheritance. What does Jesus have? He has the kingdom. Luke 10, I think it's Luke 10 somewhere, Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock, because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is given to us. It's our inheritance. It's what we have. When someone dies, you inherit an inheritance. You know, every spiritual blessing. What comes from the throne of God is ours. Every spiritual blessing that proceeds, if its root is from the spiritual realm, it is blessing, it is ours. What's the condition? By being in Him. In that verse, those verses 4 through there, there's in Christ, verse 3. Verse 4, in Him before the foundation of the world. Verse 7, in Him. In Him, verse 11, in Him, verse 13. It's in Christ. How do we get in Christ? By slaving our guts out to get there? No. We don't. We get there by repentance, by simply changing the way we think about things, changing our thought patterns from our thought patterns to God's thinking, and turning to Him in faith and receiving it by grace. As it says in there, He has lavished grace upon us. It is a gift. It's a gift. It is all a gift. It's grace. It's all a wonderful, wonderful gift. It's like being given this island in the Vanuatu. It's a gift to me. But it's up to me how much of that inheritance, how much of that island I personally will experience. It is one thing to be given an inheritance. It is another thing to be walking in all the riches of that inheritance. I could perhaps be given an inheritance of $10 million. And I would think, oh, I don't know what to do with that $10 million. I'll just leave it in the bank. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it. Well, then it's no use to me. It's mine, fully mine. As soon as whoever died that gave it to me, once they're dead, it's mine. It's mine. Legally, it's all mine. But if I don't spend it, it's a waste of time. It is of no use to me. We have been given the kingdom. We have been given the fullness of grace. We have been given the fullness of the kingdom of God has been given to us. But if we do not spend it, It is of no benefit to us or to the world that Jesus wants to reach. Because as we're transformed into his likeness, his heart becomes ours. We desire to see people saved. We desire to see the world transformed. There's a point to all this. This is just the introduction. There's a point to this. You with me? God wants us to co-work. We call it, the Bible says, Paul talks about us co-working with him, being in partnership with him. It's kind of like this major corporation where he is the where he owns the corporation and we're the CEOs. He owns it. We're the chief executive officers of this kingdom. And we work in partnership with him. Isn't that amazing? You could have little cards, you know, I'm chief executive officer of the kingdom of God. That's what we are. Staggering, isn't it? But we work with the owner. It's given to us as a gift. He is still the owner, but it's given to us and we partner with him. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because this is where we're going. There are things that God wants to do. I'm very excited about what God is going to do for us. Let me just share you a couple of things. And then I want to get Florence up to just share briefly, which will probably be half an hour. Because Florence has so much in her that we're going to have to say, stop, Florence. Be a river that floods out. Whoosh. When Sabir and I, remember the BSSM students that were here a few weeks ago? How long? Whenever they were. On the Friday night, Sabina and I were asked by Richard Whiffen if we would come in and help bring them back because they just didn't quite have enough, or their two cars didn't quite have enough to bring the team back from central London and bring our team back to Maidenhead. So he said, can you come in? And I said, well, we've probably only got room for two students and a couple of bags. He said, that's all I need. Can you come in, please? So he said, yeah, we'll bowl in. So we get there and there's the whole of the, there was about five teams that came over from, we had one come to us and they were all sort of going to different churches. So most of them had turned up there. So there's all these leaders had turned up from the different churches or groups that they were coming to take them back to their churches. And of course, Sabina and I are there. And as far as we're concerned, we are just the hired help. We're there because we're the hired, not because we're the leaders of the church, but because we're the hired help to help take them back. So the team's leading up the front and they said, all right, who's all the leaders of this? Where's all the leaders? Of course, I'm just not interested in doing this because I'm not there as a leader. I'm there because I'm helping Richard. I'm expecting Richard and Gene to put their hands up and they wouldn't do it. I said, put your hands up. Put your hands up. And they're going like this. And they said, put your hand up. Because we're sitting at the back, you know, trying to be as nonchalant and non-assuming as anything. And finally, you know, Richard just goes, you know, they're over there. Like, oh, God. And they said, where are you from? I'm like, oh, she's just all right. I'm, you know, trapped, have to do this. And so I got up and I thought, right, I'm going to make a statement. So I got up, because they wanted to know who we were and where we were from. So I got up and I thought, I'm going to make a statement. They said, hi, I'm Ian Moody, my wife, Sabina. And I said, we are from the church in the wonderful multicultural city of Slough. You like that?
Yes.
Is that good?
Yes.
Come on. So that's what I said. Of course, the Bethel students don't have a clue what's going on, and they love hearing wonderful anything. Anyway, so they go, yay, yeah, like this, you see. Isn't it true? You know, amazing is the most common word, and or wonderful, things like that just turn Bethel people on. So, you know, so that's what I said. I'll make a statement. And I thought nothing more of it. But it felt, boy, it felt good to say it. It felt really good to say it. The wonderful multicultural city of Slough. Isn't that brilliant? I like that. Should put that on the front of the, you know, when you come into the city, they should put, this is the wonderful multicultural city of Slough. That's what I should put there. Anyway, so I said this. And the next minute they're saying, well, what we want you to do now is get a picture for one of the other leaders and then ask the Lord who to show who to give that picture to. And then it's then said, all right, go and share it with the person. Now, Sabina and I are way down the back, and the church is probably, you know, would have been to the doorway here, to the front of the church, well, I think maybe. Anyway, there was a guy at the front left from us, at the front left, and as soon as they said, go and give that word to the person, this guy zoomed like he was nearly running. I mean, he was walking as fast as you can walk, it felt like, before he was running. And he came up the front and he made a big vroom straight to us. And he said, "Son, I can't remember if I've got the words right." He said, "I need you to forgive me." Okay, don't know you from a bar of cheese. You know, who are you? And he said, "I discovered it tonight that in my heart I have shamed Slough." And I'm going, "Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness." And he said, "I never realized how deeply embedded it was in my spirit. I have shamed your city." And I want to tell you this. The rest of the country, the rest of... And he was saying this because you could tell from my accent we weren't locals, you see, we were New Zealanders. And he said, "The rest of my nation shames your city." And he said, "On behalf of the nation and on my behalf, would you forgive me?" Is this giving goosebumps to anyone?
Yes.
I tell you, I had goosebumps. I thought, this is staggering. This is amazing. And I said, "Bro, of course we'll forgive you." You know, I think it was simply because I stood up and said, the wonderful multicultural city. See, most people in this country do not think of Slough in those terms. I know, I've read that stupid poem that came out years ago. Stupid thing. I never didn't read it again. I thought, what a dumb thing that is. And then, of course, there's that TV program, which I've never seen, but I've heard that. And so, of course, our city suffers under the stupidity that's... There's this word spoken over our city that has a spiritual dimension. There's a world spirit, worldview, if you like. We know what the true spirit of is, over our city. But it is a lie. God sees it as a wonderful multicultural city. And that's who I want to listen to. And that's who we're going to listen to. And that's who we need to listen to. Because it's a lie. Now, just let me share with another couple of things. I'll get Florence up. What happened? I had some friends stay with us last week, and my sister and brother-in-law stayed over the weekend. I'm exhausted. It's just so busy. But anyway, that's beside the point. Because I'm telling them about what's happening, and I'm saying we're just really excited because we've just got this new place. We were down in the South Africa. We've just got this new community centre. And I'm telling them, you know, it's Britwell, probably one of the worst places in the city. And there's been drugs, there's been going on there. And I said, but there's just kind of a few changes. But when you see the shopping centre, it will remind you of somewhere back home. And I'm thinking of a suburb back home in Auckland, which is quite a poor area. And in the past, they've had lots of, you know, just gang stuff, just terrible, 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 terrible. Probably worse than here. But the shops look, you know, they're run down. I've got these big iron grates that get pulled down. It's just kind of the same. And I said, you'll see. Anyway, I took my Peter and Francis, our dear friends from New Zealand, drove them around, showed them the place. And I said, it's just, I'm excited because what's happening, this is a brand new building. And we got to get in and Florence share how it all happened. Because I think it's awesome. I just think it's amazing. It's brand new building. And all the old flats, apparently, where all the worst stuff used to happen was in these flats, have been pulled down. Some of the shops apparently have been pulled down. And I saw Neville there. The boys and I were up there on Thursday, and Neville said, this is so much better, because behind there just used to be a rat-infested dump. It's been cleared out. Listen, God's up to something.
Yes.
Is this just random? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And the timing of us going in there, just as there's something new happening in this place, we're on a wave. We're on a wave. Now, it's not just Britwell. We're there, and I don't know how long we're going to be there. You know, God willing, in 12 months, that place will be full. We have to find somewhere else. Who knows? I don't know. It's not just Britwell. I know that's where he's placed us. I believe it's the whole city, personally. I believe God wants to do something amazing, is already doing something amazing in that city. Because he loves to take the despised and the rejected and the cast off that the rest of the world thinks and lift it up and say, you bunch of idiots. No, God doesn't say that. That's I say that. But he likes to boast and show, this is what I do. So that those look and see, look at what's happening over in that place there. See, Di reminded us this morning, there used to be one of the most famous Pentecostal churches in the world was in Slough in the 40s, 50s and 60s, and into the 70s. Stuff went to New Zealand from this place. There was material that they produced in this church in Slough, went to New Zealand. It was just one church, big church. Apparently anyone who was anyone in the Pentecostal charismatic world went there to preach or to minister to. A bit like people now go to Bethel and to go to Toronto. People used to come there. This is in Slough. This God is doing something here. Okay, that hit a wall, something's happened. But you know what? You know what? In the book of Acts, the church flourished. They hit a wall. Something happened. What happened? The church spread. Suddenly, it's all happening all over the place. Suddenly, I believe it's happening. I've just had a great, great joy the last week just being in contact with a couple of other pastors in the church. I told them about what happened to us at this place with the BSSM students, and they were so excited. I said, that is so, because they had a passion for our city as well. And I thought, God, this is good. This is so good. See, it's going to be all of us working together. We correction from what was prophesied and spoken over. Thank you for those who had made it to last week. River Together was wonderful. And now I understand why others couldn't make it. But they prophesied, and I'm hearing Colin praying for you. And Ian, you will be the one who will bring the kingdom of God. I'm thinking, I will. Can I just say, it will not be me. It will be us. It will be us. Whatever was spoken over us then, you know, over me and the boys then, is us. It is us who God wants to partner with to bring the kingdom into Slough. It's us. God is up to something. God is up to something. This is a new day. Quickly, find one quick verse. Where is it? It's Isaiah. So you can get there fastest. Isaiah chapter 43. Chapter 43, I pushed the wrong button just then, I'm not there. Chapter 43, verse something. I'll tell you in a minute. Old Testament, yeah, so you get to... I'm up to Isaiah 43. I know the verse, you see, and I won't know it until I turn to it. Verse 18. That's the one. When I was at I've just been to a church, a River Church review thing, that's what they're calling structural review. They're looking at sort of, because the church is, River Church Thames Valley has kind of evolved over the last few years, and there's lots of news. The interesting thing is, three out of the four leaders of the four churches of River Thames have all taken this position on in the last 12 months. And Vicky has now just relinquished her assistant leader and gone back to, isn't that interesting? God's doing something. Anyway, that was just interesting. The guy there who was leading us said, I felt the scripture to us. And he read the scripture out. And just before he'd read that out, I had felt within myself to do the same thing. And I want to tell you what, this is the scripture. Did you hear? Do you want to read it out? Because you read it out before anyway, it'll sound much better from Florence.
Former things do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Mm.
Yep, and verse 20:21.
The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
All right. Hallelujah. What a great verse. This is what I felt the Lord was saying, what he said to me then. Forget the former things. All right. We don't forget our foundations. We don't forget that Jesus is our only way into the kingdom. He's the only way in, he's the only way through, he's the only way out the other end. If there's another, there's no other way out the other end. Once you're in, you know what I mean? The blood of Jesus is everything to us. Is everything. We never forget that. That's our foundation. But there are ways that God does things. And I think we need to be ready. And we get prophetic words. Now, Sabina and I had prophetic words for this thing. And they're actually words that have been spoken to us way in the past. But I felt the Lord saying to me, forget the former things. Ian, you've got a word. By all means, hang on to those words. The prophetic words stay the same. The prophetic words over our church still speak to us. But I feel the Lord is saying, how they worked out in the past, leave it behind. You expected something. When you read that prophetic word, there's an expectation that comes to your mind. Put those expectations aside and let me give you new ones. Be expectant for new things to happen to fulfill those words over your life, to fulfill the purpose I have for your church. Don't be stuck in how I used to do things in the past. By all means, use what we learned there as a foundation to stand on, but he may do things differently. Let new expectations rise up in us for what God wants to do in the future. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Don't get caught in the former ways that God used to do things, because he is always moving. He's always going forth. As Shay said in the prayer meeting this morning, he's a progressive God. The kingdom is always, always, always advancing. And there are new situations, new contexts that he wants to move in. And different things can happen. And he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be free, not be limited by past experience. Not to be as the man with the island, as I was, to say, that's too far for me to go. I like this little patch here. I'm going to settle here. That's the other danger. I don't want to move from where I am. I like where I am. I like my understanding of things. I'm happy here. Thank you very much. Yet there's a whole island to discover. Are you with me? Don't settle for this. There's a whole kingdom before us. There's a whole amazing God who inhabits eternity, who is eternal. If we stick with our past experiences, we will never, never experience, we will never understand, we will never have our eyes open to see the greatness and wonder and glory of our God. We won't have the wonderful experiences to see God use us in ways we never dreamed of, never imagined. This is before us. God is up to something. Our Papa is up to something. It's amazing. I think it's incredible. I'm excited. I have a heart for this country. I have a heart. I have an expectation for Slough in particular. And I have a heart for this nation, which I don't carry for my own home nation. The only other country that I've ever felt anything, any sort of passion for in the past has been Vanuatu. The Lord seems to have closed that door to us for now. May not open again. But this country has opened up. It blows me away that I have such a heart to see this nation rise up in the kingdom of God and be blessed. This is the land of the Wesleys. This is the land of Smith Wigglesworth. This is the land of the Jeffreys brothers at the beginning of the century. And you know, just way back, read Dye's book and you see what God has done. The great missionary thing that came out, C.T. Studd, John Livingston, these men that went off, William Carey, just went off, nutty people in impossible situations to pave a way where no person had ever been. This is this country. This is our inheritance. We can say, Daddy, you did this once before, do it again. And by the way, you can use me. That's the scary bit, mind you. You can use us. I'll fill this out even more later on. Yeah, not today, but in another message. But are you excited? I hope. This is my goal, to kind of say, God's up to something. And be ready for anything and be ready for everything. Now, just wanted to share, just to cement what God's up to, is just get Florence up to share how the bits fell together, just to get that seeing Jesus going into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And I'm thinking, I don't want to see Jesus go. I know what happened after that. I don't want to hear that. But it was actually, he then went on to say that they laid palm things down, you know, and he said, I feel the Lord's wanting us to lay a pathway of prayer before this family as they step into weather. And I thought, but I missed what he said, but the rest of his word. But he showed me afterwards, he showed me something. He said, look, this is what I wrote down,
because he said, I think, there that we would have influence in the community. But he showed me afterwards, he said, I wrote down all these different things, and I just felt I didn't have time to share it, and it wasn't. He said, but this is what I got. And he had police, he had council, and he had a couple of other things. He said, I believe what God wants to give your church, and he said, it may not be you specifically, but people in your church influence in these important places in the city of Slough. Well, it's already happening. It's already happening. You know, this wasn't he said a word that was already beginning to, this is what God wants to do with us. How will it happen? As Florence said, as we pray, firstly. We pray, we pray, we pray, we pray. Secondly, we work from rest. We do not strive to make this happen because we only want it to happen as Father makes it happen. You know, if we try and make it happen, it's going to just be like a stick jammed in the works. We do it from rest. We don't strive, we do it from rest. We'll talk about this at another time. But we pray and seek Him and then be obedient as the Lord opens the doors and stepping into those things and taking those opportunities that we've been praying for come before us. Remember, it's a gift. He wants to show us how amazing He is. Because I think He just wants to get us excited. I think He just enjoys us having a laugh together. God, that's amazing. And He says, you think this is good? Let me show you something else. Yeah, and He owns the universe, and He wants to show it all off to people. And we're the ones He wants to show it to. He wants to show how big and amazing and how powerful He is. And He says, come on, kids, let me show you some stuff. You think what you've got in this world, wait till you see what I can do. That's what He wants. It's an adventure. It's walking with Him. Yes, stuff gets tough because we're in a fallen world. And we're the agents of that change, and we come up against that fallenness. But we keep our eyes on Him. We don't look at the fallenness. We lift them from that and look and say, God, what are you doing? You're doing something here. You're at work here. We want to run with what you're doing, not what the devil's doing. We want to run with the fact that you say this is a wonderful multicultural city, not what the devil's saying, but all these other stupid things that the world puts up. You understand? It's a very simple illustration. So I hope that gives you, I hope you're excited by what God's going to do. I am. I really, really am very excited. And if you could just have heard these three when we're praying, you've got to come and join these prayer meetings in the morning because they're just getting good, especially when everyone starts praying. It was just amazing.